Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the NoBam Radio Network. How you doing tonight? Thanks for tuning in. Stick around. If you're not already insane, perhaps you will be by the time the program is over. I'm starting to feel like I'm living in a huge asylum. You ever get that feeling? Only I know I'm not mad. I'm not. I know I'm not mad. I've never been mad. I know I'm not insane, but it seems like insanity is just, it's viscous. You can feel it. Do you ever feel that way? We have a little bit of everything on the program tonight to shed some light on what I'm talking about. Oh, by the way, the word of the day is hypocrite. We haven't had the word of the day being hypocrite since Monday. The big dog takes on the MoveOn.org ad controversy, pointing out that the Republicans who scream about the betrayal spot had no trouble with the lying Swift Boat ads or comparing triple amputee non-vet Max Cleland to Osama bin Laden. And then there's the oxymoron Rush Boilbutt Limbaugh Chickenhawk extraordinaire, don't take me in the military, I have a carbuncle on my ass, talking about how soldiers who criticize Iraq are just phony soldiers? A new term, phony soldiers. You'd think that would be Blackwater, you'd be wrong. Oh well, and then there's homophobic, Christ-abusing freak General Peter Pace, who has no problem with thou shall not kill. He just ignores it. And the immorality of slaughtering innocent Iraqis, but thinks that gay people are sinners. What a circus that hearing turned out to be, huh? So buckle up, truth seekers. We have we're going to have a very entertaining ride for you this evening. God. Oh, by the way, did you know that the Children's Health Insurance Program was created 10 years ago by Republicans in Congress? Huh? Did you know that? Last night, I didn't watch any of the debate with the Democratic candidates to be the nominee for president. But I have seen enough little bits and pieces, totally out of context, as O'Reilly likes to say, as all these pigs like to say, totally out of context. But here's what I did discover, that Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Edwards, all three of them, could not or would not commit to having all of our troops out of Iraq by 2013. Which would be the end of any one of those three, their first term. Now, I don't know about the other ones because mainstream media is not quoting the other ones. Or I should say mainstream media are not quoting the other ones. So I have no idea. I do know that Kucinich wants them all out, but Kucinich has as much hope of becoming president as I do. I would assume Mike Gravel, I think from our interview with Mike Gravel, the part that didn't sound like the gibberings of a chimpanzee. I think he wants us out. But the three who, one of whom is going to be, unless Al Gore gets into the race, the Democratic nominee, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, not one of the three would commit to troops, all troops, out of Iraq by 2013. Now, this is precisely what George W. Bush told all the presidential candidates to do. I was under the assumption that he was talking only to the Republicans. My mistake. Unbelievable. By 2013. 5.5 years from now. It's like living in a rubber bungalow. I mean, it's madness. And Pickles, Laura Pickles Bush, she had an interview with, I can't think of the woman's name, I think she's with ABC, the Pentagon correspondent. One of the more astute reporters, and I mean that sincerely. What's her name, damn it? She's a very good reporter. She is usually one of those people who, in the White House press briefings, usually ask incisive questions and then ask for a follow-up. What is her name, Kathy? Anyway, she was interviewing Pickles, and I saw a little clip on ABC. Pickles says, regarding the slaughter now going on in Burma, And the that country's right on the cusp, right on the verge of a tremendous, bloody revolution, as it was 20 years ago when thousands upon thousands of people were butchered in the streets. Only this time, I don't know, that country is about to explode. And we discussed last night on this program who is funding the Burmese generals, the dictators who have an iron control. The only difference between North Korea and Burma is that there's more money in Burma because Burma has oil and gas. And hence the involvement of U.S.-based or U.K.-based transnational oil and gas companies. They are the ones, as we pointed out last night, who are funding these military dictators at the top of the heap. In the meantime, the people of Burma are being treated like worse than cattle. The middle class has disappeared in that country. It's become the poor class, and the poor class has become desperate. And now they're butchering, the Burmese military is butchering Buddhist monks. It's astonishing. But Pickles knows who is supporting these Chinese generals. I'm sorry, these Burmese generals. That's right, the Chinese. That's what she said during the interview. The Chinese are the ones, it's their fault. It's their fault. The Chinese. No, Pickles, the Chinese are trying to poison our children, but it's American oil companies that are extracting the oil and the natural gas from the fields, the oil fields and the gas fields in Burma, and then selling it to the Chinese. The Chinese are just the buyers. They don't have ExxonMobil or whatever the hell these companies are. We named them last night. Those are not Chinese companies, Pickles. Those are American companies. Chevron. How do you say Chevron in Chinese? Well, you don't. Ah. But Pickles is getting her hand into foreign policy, foreign economic policy that results in the slaughter of the Burmese people. And it's only going to get worse. It is only going to get worse in Burma. And that is because the Burmese generals are pretty well, have established themselves as being cold-blooded killers. Speaking of cold-blooded killers, Vice President Dick Cheney is going to speak to a super-secret conservative policy group in Utah tomorrow during his second trip to that state this year. Cheney will address the fall meeting of the Council for National Policy. That's a group whose self-described mission is to promote support for traditional Western values, like kill the queers. Now, the organization, made up of a few hundred powerful conservative activists, holds confidential meetings, and members are advised not to use the name of the group in communications. That's according to a New York Times profile of the group. A list of rules obtained by the Times showed that the group said the media should not know when or where we meet, or who takes part in our programs, before or after a meeting. The group did not respond to an email seeking comment by the Salt Lake City Tribune. Czech Republic President Václav Klaus, not Václav Havel, Václav Klaus, is also expected to address the Council for National Policy's meeting tomorrow. And after his speech, Cheney will meet with Klaus. Yeah. Mitt Romney will be there. He ran the 2002 Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City. He's going to be there too. But his campaign did not respond to a question about whether he would talk with the group. Shh. Cheney's visit is expected to be short, only a few hours, according to people familiar with the trip's details. The trip coincides with fundraisers in California, Colorado, Nevada, and Wyoming. Cheney's spokeswoman, Leanne McBride, said. Leanne McBride. I thought, isn't she a country singer? Not somebody else. All the events of the trip are closed to the public and the news media. the Council for National Policy. Keep it quiet. Pass it on. We'll be back after the break.
We have a shadow government. It's sworn to secrecy. Its business is no business of the likes of you and me. Nobody knows who's in it. They've been carefully selected by partisan appointees who themselves were not elected. They hold top-level meetings at undisclosed locations to suspend the Constitution and sustain the corporation. Their minutes, notes, and memos can't be shared. And by the way, does anybody know the current whereabouts? Oh, it's national security, above the public scrutiny, policy of legal coup d'etat. Ah, we have a shadow government. Imagine that.
Listening to Mike Malone on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Past the hour. It's astonishing when you have when you have 76 senators feeling that George W. Bush hasn't been belligerent enough toward Iran and are now insisting that the core of Iran's army be declared a terrorist entity. And as Jim Webb has said, Senator Webb, you know, where are the hearings on this? What, we're going to believe Bush? Apparently, there are roughly 22 Democratic senators, including Hillary Clinton, who say, "Yeah, okay, let's do it. Let's give Bush more power to start another war. Let's believe him. Let's declare the core of Iran's army, which at this point you have to admit is probably in a mostly defensive posture after what is being threatened against it by the United States. But let's declare the core of their army to be a terrorist organization. If that is the case, and by the standards used to declare it a terrorist organization, what is our military? The charge against Iran is that they are providing the raw materials to the Iraqi insurgents to kill American soldiers. Our military, on the direct orders of Bush, Cheney, Petraeus, and the rest of the war criminals, are killing Afghan and Iraqi civilians by the definition being used to declare Iran's army a terrorist organization. What then are we? My God, it is one thing to corrupt language for the purpose of waging war. It is something else again to utterly destroy meaning. Who said it? Words have meanings. Incredible. We'll come back to that in a moment. There was a decision in Portland, Oregon, by a federal judge yesterday. Two provisions of the USA Patriot Act, this judge ruled, are unconstitutional because they allow search warrants to be issued without a showing of probable cause. Yeah. Yeah. In addition to the USA Patriot Act, though, there's also the FISA Act. And there's also the modification of the FISA Act that was handed to George Bush by a coalition of Republicans and Democrats saying, no, 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 go ahead. More of it. More of it. More illegal wiretapping and mail opening and House investigation and coming on. More of it. Screw the Fourth Amendment. Well, this judge, Ann Aiken, ruled that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, as amended by the Patriot Act, now permits, her words, the executive branch of government to conduct surveillance and searches of American citizens without satisfying the probable cause requirements of the Fourth Amendment, end quote. Now, this is a result of a lawsuit against the feds brought by Portland attorney Brandon Mayfield. You remember him. He was the one who who was arrested and linked to the Madrid train bombings in 2004 that killed 191 people. Why was he arrested and linked? Because this stupid-ass FBI had a fingerprint in Spain that they said belonged to Mayfield. And then they said, oops, we're sorry, we made a mistake. They settled part of the lawsuit that Mayfield brought against them for $2 million after admitting a fingerprint was misread. But as part of the settlement, Mr. Mayfield retained the right to challenge parts of the Patriot Act, which, as you know, has given Bush unprecedented power to be the tin-horned little bastard dictator that he so badly wants to be.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
26 before the hour. So U.S. District Judge Ann Aiken in Portland, Oregon, ruled that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, as amended by the Patriot Act, quote, now permits the executive branch of government to conduct surveillance and searches of American citizens without satisfying the probable cause requirements of the Fourth Amendment. End quote. It was a ruling in a case brought against the U.S. by Portland attorney Brandon Mayfield. He was the one that was busted for having a hand in the bombing in 2004 in Madrid that killed 191 people. And the FBI apologized, said, whoops, we made a mistake. Whoops, we made a mistake. Do you realize that if he were arrested now, the only people who would know about it, perhaps, would be his family? He would disappear. Jesus. So the judge ruled against the government. Mayfield had claimed that secret searches of his house and his office violated Fourth Amendment's guarantee against unreasonable search and seizure. The judge agreed. And she said the following, quote, for over 200 years, the nation has adhered to the rule of law with unparalleled success. A shift to a nation based on extra-constitutional authority is prohibited as well as ill-advised. She went on to say that the U.S. Attorney General's office, in defending against the suit brought by Mr. Mayfield, was, quote, asking this court to, in essence, amend the Bill of Rights by giving it an interpretation that would deprive it of any real meaning. This court declines to do so, end quote. And a spokesman for Bush's fascist Justice Department, Peter Carr, said the Justice Department was reviewing the decision and had no further comment. My God. See, it hasn't hit you yet. And it hasn't hit me, frankly, that I'm aware of. I have no idea. I've said to Kathy many times, it would not surprise me in the least to find out that these pissants have been inside our home. But But I don't know. I have no idea. That's just paranoia working, right? It's just my paranoia. Martha Raddatz was the ABC reporter that Pickles Bush, to whom Pickles Bush explained why the Burmese are killing monks and their own citizens. It's because of those damn Chinese. This is from Susan in Sacramento. She says, Mike, did you or anyone you know catch Barack Obama's giving us one reason for leaving some troops in Iraq, that of, quote, protecting our military bases, end quote. He made that statement during the first go-around last night. On a follow-up, he left military bases off the list. I think it was a slip. Susan writes, this is the first open admission from any candidate that I've heard of our having established permanent military bases over there. As some of us, those who have read the PNAC document, know, the establishment of permanent military bases was the primary reason for the invasion. This is interesting. It looks like some Democratic candidates are on board with it. Susan, no, I didn't hear that. But Obama, his reason for waffling and saying, well, I don't know if we can get out by 2013, is to protect U.S. military bases. Folks, we're in for a rough ride. You know it, and I know it. Peter in Vermont says, the subject line, what's making me insane? Mike, as you're saying, no one but Kucinich will commit to get the troops out before 2013, and the mainstream media won't mention Kucinich because they've deemed him unelectable. Maybe if they would play his well-reasoned speeches, he would be considered electable. Kucinich also is the only candidate on who is for a single-payer health care plan. Hillary's so-called health care plan continues to put insurance and drug company interests before American citizens. Wake up, people, Peter writes. Send money to Kucinich. Yeah, and I know the defeatism that's in my voice, Peter, when I say, yeah, he has as much chance of being elected as I do. I hate that. Every time I say it, I want to turn off the microphone and stab a pen into my thigh for saying something like that. We have some sound coming up for you here in a few minutes that you're going to find absolutely entertaining. But in the meantime, I think it was, what's today, the 27th? This is what, Kathy, Thursday? I think it was Tuesday in New York at Cooper Union. Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, suggested the United States was in the same difficult position as the British in our Revolutionary War, and that is facing a determined band of insurgents in Iraq. Michael Bloomberg is comparing modern Iraq to the U.S. in the late 18th century, when we were struggling for our independence from the Brits. This is incredible. Bloomberg said the comparison occurred to him when he visited his mother recently and was driving through Lexington, Massachusetts, where a scrubby group of farmers rose up against a well-trained militia more than 200 years ago. That would be the British Army. The mayor said during an interview with Tom Brokaw at Cooper Union, we're the British. As he has before, Bloomberg maintained that the United States is, quote, in big trouble. And he added, somebody has got to pull us out. He didn't specify who that somebody should be. He went on to say, there is an arrogance and willingness to go it alone that, quite understandably, I think, doesn't play well around the world. One of his most striking attacks on the Bush administration. Well, Bloomberg is not a Republican. He changed his party affiliation so he could get elected mayor of New York. He's a Democrat. A multi-billionaire Democrat, as everyone knows. And then there's this, the Spanish newspaper, El País, is reporting that Bush threatened various nations with retaliation back in 2003 if they didn't vote for a UN resolution backing the Iraq War. That's according to a transcript published yesterday of a conversation he had with former Spanish Prime Minister Aznar, José María Aznar. In the transcript of this meeting on February 23, 2003, that was a month before we decided to go kill Iraqis, Bush tells Asnar that nations such as Mexico, Angola, Chile, and Cameroon must know that the security of the United States is at stake. Now, those were some of the nations around the Security Council. You know, there are five permanent members, as you know, and the rest rotate. He says during the meeting, this is all on transcript, on his ranch in Texas, that Angola stood to lose financial aid. Chile could see a free trade agreement held up in the U.S. Senate if they didn't back the resolution. The confidential transcript was prepared by Spain's ambassador to the United States at the time, Javier Ruperez, the newspaper said. The White House has not challenged the accuracy of the transcript. And National Security spokesman Gordon Jandro over here declined to comment. Now, the context is prior to the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, March 20, 2003, the Bush crime family unsuccessfully lobbied the 15 members at the time of the U.N. Security Council for a second resolution, you remember this, paving the way for military action against Iraq if Saddam failed to comply with demands to disarm. There was nothing, you see, to disarm. But during the meeting with former Spanish Prime Minister Aznar, Bush made it clear that the U.S. would invade Iraq no matter whether there was a U.N. resolution or not. The lying son of a bitch, all of this. But you know this. I'm not trying to tell you something you don't know. But here it is again and again and again. The deception and the deceit and the lies and the criminal activity by this filthy, filthy president. And yet Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid say impeachment's off the table. No, 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 we're not going to impeach him. And John Edwards, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama say, well, you know, I can't guarantee we'll have the troops out by 2013. Huh? Oh, that's okay. If you find that something you can't live with, then you're insane. You're just insane, truth seeker. So am I. Just babbling insane. The Democrats, the leading lights in the Democratic Party, the ones who are in power now, will not do what the Constitution demands when the executive branch commits high crimes and misdemeanors. They won't do it. They won't take him out of office. They won't do it. They just won't do it. No, not going to do it. Mm-mm. Wouldn't be prudent. And the Democrats who want to replace this crime organization, the top three, at least the top three, according to the polls and the media and yada yada, the top three are saying, no, I can't guarantee we'll be out by 2013. Sorry. In effect, doing what Bush told the presidential candidates to do. Don't, you know, let your ass say, or let your mouth say something that will get your ass in trouble. That's essentially what's been said here by Bush. And so the leading Democratic presidential contenders are doing exactly that. Okay, George. Okay. The transcript said that Bush said, "There are 2 weeks left. In 2 weeks, we'll be ready militarily. We'll be in Baghdad at the end of March, and we can win without destruction. We're already planning a post-Saddam Iraq, and I think there's a good basis for a better future. Iraq has a good bureaucracy and a relatively robust civil society." And I'm optimistic because I believe I'm right. I'm at peace with myself. End quote.
President has got to go. He's got to go. We want our country back. We're going to get it. Want to show him the door. Chemicals and nukes, you know, they never did appear. Yellow, orange, and red, just to keep us in fear. Said,
this is Laura Pigglesbush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
10 before the hour, from antiwar.com, here's today's report, as near as it can be pieced together. And this is what Edwards, Clinton, and Obama say will Well, they say we can't tell you this won't be going on in the year 2013. Numerous bombings rocked the country today. Overall, at least 182 Iraqis were killed. 136 more were wounded during various attacks. Yesterday, an American GI was killed during a small arms attack in the capital. Also, lawmakers are considering imposing travel restrictions in an effort to curb the growing cholera epidemic in Iraq. In Baghdad, a double car bomb killed 32 people, wounded more than 50 in the Bayeya neighborhood. A suicide belt bomber killed a civilian and wounded another. Also, seven unidentified bodies were found dumped in several neighborhoods. In Mosul, witnesses reported hearing four explosions during a single hour. In an incident at an unfinished government building, three people were killed and 50 wounded during a suicide bombing. Three people were killed and one soldier was wounded during bombings at an army checkpoint east of the city. A civilian was wounded during a bombing in the Al-Tahrir neighborhood. Also, police killed the suicide bomber before he could detonate his cargo. A car bomb between Mosul and Arbil injured three Iraqi soldiers. U.S. troops in Hilla attacked a mosque and killed its imam. In a separate incident, helicopter gunships killed five women and four children. A suicide bomber targeting a tribal leader killed 10 people and wounded 9 more in al-Thiban village near Sinjar. The leader was among the dead. In Shurghat, a pair of car bombs killed 7 people and wounded 5 more. One targeted police patrol and the other a police station. A family of 5 was killed in Balad Ruz shortly after an extremist group abducted them from a fake checkpoint. In Diyala province, 5 people were killed during an explosion near a home. 2 bodies were brought to the morgue. The body of a 3-year-old was found near Bakuba. He had been strangled and left in an irrigation ditch. In Hawija, a grenade thrown at an army Iraqi army patrol wounded 4 civilians instead. In the evening, a roadside bomb killed a police officer and wounded 3 policemen. Gunmen killed 2 men in separate incidents in Iskandaria. In Latifia, the body of a man shot execution style was found. 1 policeman was killed and another wounded in Al Jazeera during a bomb attack. A sniper killed a police captain in Basra. 5 people were killed and 5 were wounded outside a Sunni mosque south of town. 2 militants were killed in Fallujah. Gunmen attacked a police station. 3 policemen were wounded. 6 gunmen were killed and 5 arrested. Also, a suicide bomber detonated his cargo, but no one was killed. U.S. troops killed 3 suspects and arrested 2 in Musayab. They also killed 3 and detained 8 more in other cities. Iraqi troops killed 7 suspects and detained 47 in different locations. Combined U.S. Iraqi forces and police have killed at least 65 more suspects in Muqtadiya over the last 5 days. 10 had already been reported. Another 5.5 years of that. It's truly is madness, isn't it? You ready to stop this? I mean us getting together every night and doing this. Are you ready to stop this? Kathy, do we have enough money in the bank where we can just blow this off? No, we don't. Oh, we don't. What's a bank? Oh my God. Jeff sent this to me from Washington State, Jeff T. And it's kind of interesting. You remember Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula, the movie? Oh my God, that was such an incredibly good movie. Remember the crazy man that was in the insane asylum? Renfield. Remember him, Kathy? The guy with the glasses, the crazy person? This is a quote found on Wikipedia in regards to Renfield. He is an inmate of the lunatic asylum overseen by Dr. John Seward. He is age 59 and suffers from a delusional belief system that leads him to eat living creatures in the hope of obtaining their life force for himself. Being confined to the asylum and aware of the foolishness of taking on a full-sized hospital orderly, he starts by consuming flies, then develops a scheme of feeding the flies to spiders and the spiders to birds in order to accumulate more and more life. When denied a cat to accommodate the birds, he eats the birds himself. If you haven't, we need to get Bram Stoker's Dracula again. Who all was in that? Name some names for me. You're the movie buff.
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, he played the part of the Count
Keanu
Dracula.
Reeves.
Keanu Reeves was the poor.
Anthony Hopkins.
The
little shoplifting girl.
The shoplifting girl?
Winona Ryder.
Oh, that's right, Winona. That is such a great movie. I had forgotten that part about Renfield. I wasn't sure why he would catch the bugs and eat them. Until finally Dracula came to him in the prison cell. Remember that? All right, we have a break coming up. When we come back, we are going to play for you what appears to be a riot taking place in the Senate Appropriations Committee hearing today on the Iraq spending bill. This is the one where General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, declares once again that queers don't deserve to live. Now, of course, he doesn't say it precisely that way, but that's exactly what he means. We're also going to have for you the big dog, Bill Clinton, and what he had to say about how the Republicans got their bloomers in a wad over the MoveOn.org ad. And as a real treat, if you be good during the break, if you are good listeners during the break, we also will play for you Rush Limbaugh going after what he calls fake soldiers. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right, the program from this point on is going to take a turn into complete madness. A little background. Back in March, Peter Pace, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I believe he's a Marine, isn't he? Declared, quote, "I believe that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral," end quote. Now today, at the hearing in front of the Senate Appropriations Committee, where they're talking about billions more for Bush's adventure, Senator Tom Harkin, Democrat of Iowa, called those comments very hurtful, very demoralizing. And Harkin then offered Peter Pace, who was attending his final hearing before resigning, an opportunity to clarify his remarks. But Pace only ramped it up with what he had to say. Let's listen to this. Now, this runs for 3 minutes, so sit back, get some popcorn. Tom Harkin starts the ball rolling about Pace's personal views, and then Pace talks about God's law and the sin of homosexuality. And then the audience in the hearing room starts to erupt into chants about war being immoral, chanting, "Thou shalt not kill." And then poor old ancient chairman Robert Byrd, Democrat of West Virginia, clears the room and suspends the hearing. And finally, you hear Pace yell that he will not be lectured. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Senate in session at a hearing today as its chief witness, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Here we go.
Your personal views are your personal views. But once you put those stars on your shoulder, just like when you take an oath of office to be a secretary or as a senator, our personal lives cross over. And we have to be cognizant of our responsibility to society at large when we either become a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or a United States Senator or a secretary. Very hurtful comments very demoralizing comments. And if you have anything to add to say to that, I would be open to listen.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate the opportunity to clarify what I did say, to be very precise about what I said and what I believe, because what I said and what I believe was not what was reported very accurately. And, Mr. Chairman, if I could indulge you, sir, I need about 4 to 5 minutes, 4 to 5 minutes to answer this properly.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
That's fine.
So I would repeat, because my upbringing is one that says that sex between other than man and woman inside the bonds of marriage is a sin, that we should respect those who want to serve the nation, but not through the law of the land condone activity that in my upbringing is counter to God's law.
Now, one more outbreak, and that'll be too many.
There are those, obviously, who do not agree with that. All I'm saying is that in my responsibility, with the authority I've been given and responsibilities I've been given, are to obey the law of the land and to object if something is either illegal or immoral. My upbringing tells me that sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage between a man and a woman is immoral. That's what I was taught. That is what I believe. It is where I. It is
this
where I
hearing is adjourned.
Clear
the room. The hearing is suspended. The hearing is suspended. Clear the room.
Clear the room.
The hearing is suspended.
Thank you, sir.
I did need to bring it up, and I don't need a lecture from you either. No. I don't need any lecture from you.
Let us clear the room. Let us clear the room. We've had enough of this. Clear the room. Clear the room. Clear the room. Clear the room. That's enough of this.
Yeah, Robert. Damn straight. That's enough.
I will not be lectured by you.
This is classic breakdown of not just civil discourse inside a hearing room. And I'm not faulting the protesters at all. I think every single hearing that has anything to do with the Iraq War should be attended by people who immediately disrupt it. Immediately! Don't let these sons of bitches testify for 30 seconds! And don't let the Democrats ask another question! I'm in favor of disrupting these meetings. These hearings. But this is what you have. This is the beginning of the end of a constitutional republic. We don't live there anymore. Do you understand that, truth seeker? We don't live there anymore. Poor old Robert Byrd. This meeting is adjourned. This meeting is... All right, I'm not mocking him because he's an old man. He's beyond old. And Peter Pace, sitting there, talking about his moral upbringing, what the name of hell does that have to do with the laws of the United States and fulfilling the obligations, you jerk, as laid upon you by the Constitution? Where does it say in the Constitution, General Pace, that you're sworn to uphold and defend, that it doesn't pertain to homosexuals. Bastards, all of these people. But there you have it. There's madness. Madness prevails. Madness reigns. After 7 years, almost, of this corrupt, megalomaniac psychopath that we have in the White House, this is where we are. The advancement of generals who are religious freak asses, people whose personal agendas or psycho-religious agendas take precedence over what the Constitution of the United States says. This is crazy. This is insane. Do you realize how far around the bend we have gone? It's just astonishing. I don't know.
What I found astonishing is how he just kept going and going and going. I mean, he just kept saying, well, I think it's a sin. He wouldn't stop about it.
Peter Pace, yeah, he apparently in his general's training manual, it doesn't list the first rule of holes. When you're in one, stop digging. But you see, he is a four-star general. He is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He is one of Bush's favorites. He is a warmonger-er. He is someone who believes in death and destruction. He is not the type of military leader who says, okay, I will participate in, if such a thing exists, a legal war, but I will not order my troops to invade a country that has done nothing to provoke the invasion. General Peter Pace would be tried at Nuremberg as a war criminal. You know it, I know it, the world knows it. So would Petraeus, so would Bush, so would Cheney, so would Rumsfeld, so would Bremer. All of these people who have done this would be put in the dock and given attorneys, and they would be tried for war crimes. We did this to the German High Command, and we did it for a very valid reason, because they were war criminals. And we gave them defense attorneys, and we made sure it was done properly, not a summary execution as Roosevelt wanted, as Churchill wanted. No, we gave them a trial. And these warmongers, these immoral murderers who now run this country in uniform and out of uniform, deserve exactly the same rights given to the German High Command. Now, if you don't agree, you tell me where you don't agree. What kind of a leader orders troops into a country that has been brought to its knees after 13 years of sanctions? Hundreds of thousands of people starved to death, murdered because of a lack of drugs, invaded for the second or third time, executes the leader, and then tries to take over the oil. What is that? Is that what a Christian does? Is that what you're talking about, Peter? Upon you I shall build my church. You are Peter, the rock.
Yeah.
Ready for radical talk radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
Okay, so I got a little carried away there at the end of that last segment. Madness prevails, and I certainly am not exempt from it. George in Seattle writes, Mike, Christian nutcase Peter Pace, when recently asked about Iraq, said that George Bush was doing God's work. In light of that fact, this must be how our foreign policy operates. First, God talks to Christian nutcase George Bush. Then George Bush speaks to Peter Pace, who then nods his head in approval and proceeds to send God's orders down to another Christian nutcase, General Petraeus, who then implements God's will on the ground in Iraq. My question is, George writes, with all of this divine guidance being bestowed upon our leaders, how is it that we are losing in Iraq? Was something lost in translation? Or maybe it's just that God isn't as good at conquering Arabs as he used to be. You know, what's the difference? George in Seattle. Thanks, George. What is the difference between, other than the obvious accommodations from which they make their speeches, but what's the difference between Osama bin Laden speechifying about become a Muslim and accept God's law and George W. Bush saying, you know, God told me to invade these countries, and Peter Pace talking about the Christian fatwa, I guess, against somebody, and then Petraeus. It's madness. And what that hearing was about, Pace is there as a witness for the Pentagon that is requesting, that would be Mr. Gates, requesting almost $190 billion more for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's just for fiscal year 2008. That would be the largest annual expenditure since these wars of choice began. $190 billion. Keep in mind that the Democrats and a few Republicans are asking for an additional $35 billion to fund children's health care for the next 5 years. Now, this $190 billion represents an uptick of almost $44 billion that they just forgot, I guess. Gates told the Senate Appropriation Committee that this extra $43 billion will support additional troops deployed to Iraq this year. And you know what? They will get every penny of it. And you know why? Because the Democrats in Congress, in the Senate, will make it happen. Robert Byrd, the committee chairman, West Virginia, said Congress will continue its efforts to end the war and will no longer rubber stamp Mr. Bush's requests for war funding in the fifth year of his terrible misguided conflict. This senator, yes, this man from the Hill Country, believes that it's time for a thorough revaluation of the Bush war in Iraq. Mr. Byrd, I certainly appreciate your high-flown rhetoric. You are truly like Cicero in the Senate. You are an absolute rhetorical genius, but oh well. All right, stick around. When we come back after this next break, the big dog speaks, Bill Clinton, on Anderson Cooper's program. And then saving the worst for last, the drug-addicted, drug-dealing, death-by-choice, right-wing, piggish talk show host, Rush Limbaugh! Welcome back. Are you still here? Oh, my God, you still are. You haven't been driven to your television set tonight or some other radio program. Madness prevails. It is 25 before the hour. All right, here's the big dog. He was on with Anderson Cooper's 360 last night. Clinton had something to say about the MoveOn.org ad controversy. Of course, Clinton thinks it's misdirection on the neocons' part to attack the MoveOn ad because, as we all know, the attempt is to switch the focus from the horrendous war to those dirty, rotten, filthy liberal Democrats at MoveOn.org. It's them! It's not the slaughter! It's the ad! Clinton points out the hypocrisy of neocons attacking any negative ad.
I think that there was something completely disingenuous about the feigned outrage of the Republicans in the White House and in the Congress about this. This was classic bait and switch.
Focus on that as opposed to focusing on what's really happening.
I don't have to deal with Iraq. I don't have to tell anybody what I'm going to do. Everything we do in Iraq is obviously right because they said this about Petraeus, as if it was the only issue in the wide world. Come on, these Republicans that are all upset about Petraeus, this is one newspaper ad. These are the people that ran a television ad in Georgia with Max Cleveland, who lost half his body in Vietnam, in the same ad with Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. That's what the Republicans did. And the person that rode to the Senate on that ad was there voting to condemn the Democrats over the Petraeus ad. I mean, these are the people that funded the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. And the president appointed one of the principal funders of the Swift Boat ads to be an ambassador. But they're really upset about Petraeus. But it was okay to question John Kerry's patriotism on blatantly dishonest claims by people that didn't know what they were talking about. So it was just bait and switch. It was just, oh, thank goodness, I can take this little word here and ignore what we've done in Iraq and what we're going to do and the outrageous way we gained political power by smearing John Kerry.
And, of course, we here in Georgia know the filthy pig who rode into Washington on the ad attacking Max Cleland, of course, Saxby Chambliss is his name. Saxby Chambliss is his name. No offense, Saxby, but you look like your mom and dad were also brother and sister. He is just such a typical southern white redneck murderous lying dishonest immoral, unethical Republican. Marilyn writes from Albuquerque. Mike, I hope you'll read this this attachment. I typed it in the kitchen as I was preparing dinner and dealing with our outdoor critters. All right, here's what Marilyn wrote. Today, I'm so sorry to witness the further dissolution of my country and the needless deaths of others abroad. I wish I could take my small holdings and transplant them into a rational nation, but I can't. I live here, and I've always believed in our country. I don't anymore. You'll probably get my last buck, but you won't get my last vote. Today, with the passage of a bill containing indemnification of Iran gearing up for yet another unilateral war, and the passage of a bill to further indebt our nation to warmongering, I have finished any hope I had for a rational approach to world problems. We can continue to advise our children and grandchildren on how to survive in a hostile environment, and we will. My heart's broken. I've tried limiting my meager contributions to the party of my choice. I've tried funding nationwide candidates that seem smart enough to solve some of the problems of the world. I've tried to fund organizations that know much more about government than I do. No more. All the U.S. citizens have been saying to the government is disregarded. Politics has taken over our governance and will prevail despite the wishes of the people of our country. I haven't done as much as I should have, but I have always followed this political dissent to the best of my ability. I've always tried to change the direction of politics from a greed-takes-all attitude, but I've failed. Being a biologist all my life, I've tried to save and gain respect for the creatures of the earth, but now I realize I couldn't do that, let alone keeping the integrity of the human race in sync with the world. I never wanted to be pretty. I never wanted to be rich. I just wanted for our morals and our rationality to make a positive impact on this beautiful world of ours. These people who have done this to our nation should be held accountable. They won't be. I understand that. But there is no justice, and the trickle-down theory will be employed. When I die, I wish to have my No War Against Iraq yard sign and my T-shirt with a picture of a huge tree with the message, Respect Your Elders, near my ashes, in my home country, and my beloved landscape. Marilyn. What else do we have here? This is from Kathy in Green Bay. Regarding God's work, God wants the U.S. to be more vulnerable, less safe? Why? P.S. At least atheists don't think that there's a God that wants to see the downfall of the USA. Yeah, that's true. You know, all this talk about, God's will this and God's will that, is anybody in these God nuts paying attention to the fact that everything God tells these generals and Bush to do results in more death and destruction and more defeat for the U.S. and more depletion of what little bit of financial resources we have left and sending more of our young people into this meat grinder is I guess that's the Old Testament God. You know, the one who said to Joshua, go ahead, cross the river. I want you to go into the land of Canaan and I want you to kill everybody, all of them, kill them all. Kill the men, the women, the priests, kill the babies, the children, kill their asses, kill their cattle, kill their sheep, kill everything. I want blood so thick that you can barely walk. Joshua, do you hear me? I guess that's the God they're talking about. A degenerate, psychopathic God. A cannibalistic God. And, of course, the Muslims are talking about the same God, the Muslim nutballs. And this is what is so tragic. Because, in my uneducated opinion, both Jesus and Muhammad tried to rectify this violent, flesh-eating, devouring, cannibalistic God that existed for the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims until Jesus and Muhammad came along and said, no, wait. No more going into the land of Canaan and butchering everyone. No, not cool. God was drunk when he ordered that, or he was on drugs or something. But no more of that. So that must be the God, the dead God, that Petraeus and Pace and Bush and Cheney and the rest of these psychopaths are channeling. It must be the dead one, the rotting God, the one who says, if you mix fabrics when you get dressed in the morning, you should die. That one. Do we have time to do the pig man? Can you stretch? You can't stretch that long? Yeah, it's 3 minutes and 31 seconds. All right. You've been a very good audience tonight, so we will play this way, but we're going to have to wait. And we don't have time in the final segment either, do we? Huh? Before the break at the top of the hour, do we have time? Oh, we do there? Okay. All right, we'll take this next break when it comes up, and then we will play the Pigman, the oxymoron. All right, let's go ahead and take the break now. And can we do that? We can break early? Oh, I didn't know that. I guess we can do a lot of things that just do it, right? Yeah. All right, let's do this break. When we come back, the pig man. And then we're going to do phone calls probably for the better part of the rest of the evening. I know some of you have been on hold forever. There's no point in my apologizing. Sweden? Guys have been holding on for an hour and a half from Sweden. Oh, my. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Well, he can be fascinating. He can be dumb. He can be...
Get your range on. It's Mike Malloy.
All right. It's about 10 before the hour. Here we go. This is another example of supreme neocon hypocrisy today. Rush, Death by Temptation, Limbaugh, the Vietnam War evading chicken hawk because he had a huge suppurating sore on his ass, said any soldier who opposed Bush's glorious massacre in Iraq was a phony. Way to respect the troops, boil butt. Limbaugh is talking to a caller here, Mike from Chicago, about how the media never interviews, quote, real soldiers, end quote, when they report stories about Iraq, and then a second Mike comes on board. Sit back. Here we go.
Mike in Chicago. Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi, Rush. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir. Thank you.
Good. Why is it that you always just accuse the Democrats of being against the war and that there's absolutely no Republicans that could possibly be against the war?
Well, who are these Republicans? I can think of Chuck Hagel, and I can think of Gordon Smith, two Republican senators, but they don't want to lose the war like the Democrats do. I can't think of who are the Republicans in the anti-war movement?
I'm not talking about the senators. I'm talking about the general public. Like, you accuse the public of all the Democrats of being, you know, wanting to lose.
Oh, come on. But here we go again. I utter the truth, and you can't handle it, so you got to call here and change the subject. How come I'm not also hitting Republican? I don't know a single Republican or conservative, Mike, who wants to pull out of Iraq in defeat.
Well, I am a Republican, and I listened to you for a long time, and you're right on a lot of things, but I do believe that we should pull out of Iraq. I don't think it's winnable. And I'm not a Democrat, but I just, sometimes you got to cut the bosses.
Well,
I mean, sometimes you really got to know when you're wrong.
Well, yeah, you do. I'm not wrong. The worst thing can happen is losing this, flaying out of there, waving the white flag.
We did what we were supposed to do, okay? We got rid of Saddam Hussein. We got rid of a lot of the terrorists. Let them run their country. How long do you think we're going to have to be there for to take care of it? How long do we have to stay there?
As long as it takes. It is very serious. This is the United States of America at war with Islamofascists. We stay as long, just like your job. You do everything you have to do, whatever it takes to get it done, if you take it seriously.
So when you say we need to stay there forever, how long do we have to stay there?
You're not listening to what I say. You can't possibly be a Republican. I'm answering every question. It's not what you want to hear, and so it's not even penetrating your little wall of armor you've got built up. Another Mike, this one in Olympia, Washington. Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a retort to Mike in Chicago. What I would like to retort to is that what these people don't understand is if we pull out of Iraq right now, which is about impossible because of all the stuff that's over there, it'd take us at least a year to pull everything back out of Iraq, then Iraq itself would collapse, and we'd have to go right back over there within a year or so.
There's a lot more than that that they don't understand. If a next guy that calls here, I'm going to ask him, why should we pull? What is the imperative of pulling out? What's in it for the United States to pull out? I don't think they have an answer for that other than, well, he's going to bring the troops home. Keep the troops safe. Whatever. It's not possible intellectually to follow these people.
No, it's not. And what's really funny is they never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and spout to the media.
The phony soldiers.
If you talk to a real soldier, they're proud to serve. They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq.
Jesus, God in heaven, if I believed any of that nonsense, I would pray for a thunderbolt to strike this corpulent thug right between the eyes and send him to hell. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. John Saltz, who is co-founder and chair of the VoteVets.org, leader of the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans community, combat veteran, unlike this sloppy, disgusting, drug-addled, cigar-sucking pig, Rush Limbaugh. Soltz said, my challenge to you, Rush, is to have me on your show so you can say all of this again right to the face of someone who served in Iraq. But you see, Limbaugh is a cowardly son of a bitch. He would no more face a man like John Soltz than he would go score his own drugs. Soltz writes, where to begin? First, in what universe is a guy who never served even close to being qualified to judge those who have worn the uniform? Rush Limbaugh has never worn a uniform in his life, Soltz writes, not even one at Mickey D's. And somehow he's got the moral standing to pass judgment on the men and women who risked their lives for this nation and his right to blather smears on the airwaves. Second, maybe Rush doesn't care much, but the majority of troops on the ground in Iraq and those who have returned do not back the president's failed policy. If you do, go to votevets.org, or if you go to votevets.org and click on Did You Get the Memo page, there's a good collection of stories, polls, and surveys which all show America's troops believe we're on the wrong track, not the right one, in Iraq. Does Rush believe, then, that the majority of the U.S. Armed Forces are phony? Third, the polls and stories don't even take into account the former brass who commanded in Iraq, who are incredibly critical of the Bush administration, and its steadfast refusal to listen to those commanders on the ground who have sent up warning after warning. Major Generals John Batiste and Paul Eaton left the military and joined VoteVets.org for that very reason. Does Rush believe that highly decorated Major Generals are phony soldiers? Get the point, Rush? You weren't just flat out wrong. You offended a majority of those of us who actually had the courage to go to Iraq and serve while you sat back in your nice studio coming up with crap like this. My challenge to you, then, is to have me on the show and say all of this again right to the face of someone who served in Iraq. I'll come any day, any time. Not only will I once again explain why your comments were so wrong, but I will completely school you on why your refusal to seek a way out of Iraq is only aiding Al-Qaeda and crippling American security. Balls in your court, Rush. Well, I certainly appreciate John Soltz's presence of mind. I would like to say, Rush, invite me on your program. Let me come in and repeat what you said, and I will leap across the table, grab you around your fat throat, and choke you until that cigar pops out of your ass. How about that, Rush? But you see, John Soltz is a veteran. John Soltz has presence. I don't. We'll be back at... What? Did I say something wrong?
I just had that cigar image bothering me a little bit.
Oh, God. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? We'll be back, I think, right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. I got to get Anthony on here very quickly. He's been holding on for over an hour from Sweden. Anthony, welcome to the program. Sorry for the delay.
That's all right. Sorry if I haven't been able to call recently. I've been a little busy with the chat room at democracyinteractive.com. Big listening party for you there. And you were there last month, I recall.
Yeah, I stopped in last month for a few minutes, yes.
Yep. It was awesome. So anyhow, Rush Limbaugh, the pig man who refused to go to Vietnam because I had a big festering boil on my ass, is now saying that troops in Iraq who don't support the Bush crime family are phony soldiers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's just horrible. I mean, here's the thing. Would he dare say that to Kevin Tillman, who served in Iraq and saw his brother Pat Tillman killed there? Would he dare say that to Kevin
Tillman?
So.
I don't think so.
Exactly. I mean, this is the thing. Congress, the Senate, or whatever it is, they freaked out when Move On, we're referring to the General Betrayus ad, they freaked out.
Uh-huh.
How are they going to react to the pig man talking about phony soldiers? How are they going to react to that?
They're not going to react at all because Rush Limbaugh and the Republicans are all on the same page. They are murderous sons of bitches who are as evil as the Nazis were. Limbaugh deserves to be in the dock if war crime trials are ever held because of what he has done with his propagandizing. And as far as saying anything like that to a real soldier, a real soldier would listen to Limbaugh for about 30 seconds and then bayonet him.
Exactly.
And Limbaugh knows that. That's why he stays in his room, does his drugs, sucks his cigars, and does his hate-filled radio program. Let someone else go die. I have to drive my Escalade and smoke my cigars and eat my pork chops. Let somebody else go die. I don't care, but don't talk to me about phony soldiers. This guy is disgusting. Disgusting.
Exactly. You know, I accidentally tuned into his show once. I can get the Armed Forces Radio on my radio, and I heard him talk about the Democrats want to cut and run. Only cowards cut and run. Basically, he hates the troops and wants them to stay there forever. That's what his sick right-wing pigman mind wants.
Right. Plus, he's describing himself. Rush Limbaugh, like so many of these right-wingers, is a coward down to his core. I mean, his underwear is cowardly. His feet are cowardly. What remains of his hair and his lungs and his inner ear, all of him is cowardly. But that's no different from so many of these war-loving Republicans as long as somebody else will fight and bleed and die. But Limbaugh is an absolute, total, complete, yellow-bellied coward.
Yeah, word up to that. I mean, it's not their kids who are dying in Iraq. It's not their kids.
Well, I don't think Limbaugh has ever had children. If he did, he probably cooked them and ate them for dinner one night inadvertently, thinking it was a big chunk of lamb or something. Hey, listen, Anthony, good to hear from you, pal. Take care. I'm sorry you held on so long. Call again, okay?
That's all right.
All right.
Take care, Mike.
All right. Take care, sir. I appreciate it, Anthony. John Kerry is demanding an apology from Limbaugh for insulting the troops. Here's a statement. This is from Kerry. This disgusting attack from Rush Limbaugh, cheerleader for the Chicken Hawk wing of the far right, is an insult to American troops. In a single moment on his show, Limbaugh managed to question the patriotism of men and women in uniform who have put their lives on the line, and many who died for his right to sit safely in his air-conditioned studio peddling hate. On August 19th, the New York Times published an op-ed by seven members of the U.S. Army's 82nd Airborne Division, critical of Bush's Iraq policy. Two of those soldiers were killed earlier this month in Baghdad. Does Mr. Limbaugh dare assert that these heroes were phony soldiers? Mr. Limbaugh owes an apology to everyone who has ever worn the uniform of our country, an apology to the families of every soldier buried in Arlington National Cemetery. He is an embarrassment to his party, and I expect the Republicans who flock to his microphone will now condemn this indefensible statement. You really think that'll happen, John? You really do? Oh, okay. My God. Phony soldiers. Phony soldiers. People who are under fire in a war the drum beat for which was handled by pigs like Rush Limbaugh, cowardly, filthy pigs like Rush Limbaugh, and soldiers who are actually in a theater of combat, who understand in 5 minutes what the pig man would not understand in 5 years, that the war is lost, it was lost before we went in, and it's time to end this. And this filthy piece of human waste calls them phony soldiers. Was that on the news tonight? I don't think so, but are they still on cable news networks? Are they still talking about the MoveOn.org ad? Are they going? Is anyone, other than a few random shots by we left liberal talk show hosts, is anyone going to, in mainstream media, going to point out what Limbaugh has said? Is anyone going to put this filthy pig's quote up the way we did and broadcast it? Is Tom Brokaw going to, or not Brokaw, but what's his name that took his place on NBC? Brian Williams. Is Brian Williams going to play it? Is anybody going, is Katie Couric? Katie Couric had this piece of human waste on one of her initial programs, didn't she? Something called Equal Time on a newscast, for Christ's sake. Is Katie Couric going, will Hillary Clinton put the audio of this up at her website so people can hear what a filthy, degenerate, America-hating pig Limbaugh really is? Is Clear Channel, is anybody, Premier Radio Networks that I believe handle most of the syndication, are they going to fire this rat bastard? Are they going to do to him what was done to Don Imus for his statement about female basketball players? Is anybody in this goddamn country in a position of power going to respond to what Limbaugh said? Anybody? Anybody? You want the quick answer? Hell no. This is where you live, Truth Seeker. And this is where I live. Where some filthy, filthy, filthy human being like Limbaugh can make a statement like that and get away with it. Jesus God. Liz writes, Mike, after witnessing the top three Democratic presidential candidates basically committing to 6 more years of war last night and the Senate vote on the Lieberman-Kyle amendment, I've had enough. My application to change my voter registration to the Green Party is in the mail. It is obvious that Democrats don't care any more about the voice of the people than the Republican cartel. Until now, I held out the evidently delusional hope that the Democrats would see the danger to our Constitution and the Republic and fight for us. It was just a matter of time, I thought. Now it is clear that the majority of the Democratic Congress is and has been in lockstep with this administration. I feel so hopeless for our country and sure that the death of democracy in America is a done deal. The ignorant American people will continue to drive their SUVs and buy their HDTVs to watch their treasured flickering tube of pseudo-reality. Keep up your enlightened voice in the dark, as long as they let you. Liz.
Are you perfectly comfortable going to war with a moral sanction against the law? Are you perfectly comfortable fighting the world? If you're perfectly comfortable, your sons, ask yourself this question.
End Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
That's awful. End Your Day Screaming. Oh, my God. Last little item here, and I just got this. This is from Russian news agency.
Well, you've ruined us all for cigars. We can't end our day that way.
Oh, well, that's true. This is from the Russian news agency, RIA Novosti, R-I-A Novosti. Russia promises retaliation if weapons deployed in space. Now, of course, that's what, you know, going all the way back to Ronald Reagan. And we're very close to doing it under Bush and probably under the next president, Democrat or Republican. But here's the story. Russia is ready to take appropriate measures if weapons are deployed in space, the commander of the Russian Space Forces said Thursday. Colonel General Vladimir Popovkin said, quote, should any country deploy weapons in space, then the laws of armed warfare are such that retaliatory weapons are certain to appear. Colonel General Popovkin said said that Russia and China have drafted an international declaration on the non-deployment of weapons in space and sent it to the UN. The commander said, quote, it is necessary to establish the rules of the game in space. He added that the deployment of weapons in space could have unpredictable consequences since such weapons are, quote, very complex systems, end quote. He added, quote, a sizable war could break out, end quote. He said space must not be the sphere of interest of any one country. He said, quote, we do not want to fight in space, and we do not want to call the shots there either, but we will not permit any other country to do so, end quote. How quickly these Republicans have reignited the Cold War, have challenged country after country around the globe, have invaded two countries, planning the invasion of a third, destroyed the economy. Oh, Jesus, don't go down the list. All right, let's do some phone calls, all right? Let's start with Wayne, who's calling from Boston, listening on the Internet. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
You are.
I wouldn't worry about the Russia thing because they would put up a fight. You know, Bush is a bull. He's a bull. He's going to go up after a week. But the reason I called is I was watching the debate last night, and the three top candidates at like 10:13, they wanted to get out of there.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I thought first thing that came in my head was when Howard Dean was like 30 points ahead of Skull and Bones, John Kerry, and all of a sudden John Kerry comes out of nowhere and gets the nomination. And I could tell by Hillary's face, she knows the fix is in. She's running.
The fix is in for who? Hillary Clinton?
Yeah. It's trying to. You know, I mean, the Council on Foreign Affairs candidates of Obama and Edwards. You know, those are the top three candidates.
Well, how do you do that? I understand how you can steal an election.
Yeah.
We've seen two presidential elections stolen, but what do you mean when you say the fix is in? Hillary's going to win.
She's like 20 points ahead in the polls and everything. No, and nobody seems to like it. She's so far ahead.
Well, don't forget, polls, this is one place where I think candidates for political office are usually right. Of course, they only say this when they're behind in the polls, but the statement that the polls really don't mean anything, it's a snapshot of how people are feeling at any given moment. The audience is selected based on certain demographic parameters, and maybe the polling is good, maybe the polling is bad. I don't know anymore. There's very little that I see in mainstream media, including polling, that I believe at all. So we will know for certain after Super Tuesday, which is coming up February something, which is November, December, about 3 months, 4 months. We will know pretty much who is going to be the next president because the Republicans don't have an ice cube's chance in hell. You know, the Democrats could nominate I don't know. They could nominate just damn near anybody, and I think the country has had enough of Republicans. I'm not saying that the Republican is the country has come out of its coma. We are still in a coma. We are in a permanent coma, and I don't think we're ever going to come out. But every 4 years, we get roused, some of us, 43% of us, and we go, quote, vote, end quote. And I think this time that we, quote, vote, end quote, I think there's no question that there's going to be a Democrat, and that Democrat, unless Al Gore gets in, is going to be Hillary Clinton.
The deck is stacked. They win, we lose.
Say what?
The deck is stacked.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. And I don't know how to throw sand into the gears, but we'll think of something. Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate you checking in, pal. Take care. Time for another break? Oh, my God. Okay. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Molloy, only on Nova M Radio.
Oh, God. Like I need a hole in my head. Claude writes in, Mike, tonight Laura Ingraham, another right-wing talk show host, interviewed James Carville's wife, that would be Mary Matlin, a conservative. That was a perfect example of the Twilight Zone. Two cons feeding off each other and revealing their true madness and narrow-mindedness. When Laura is on mainstream TV, she acts rather subdued, but on her show, she reveals how lowbrow she is. So why do people like Chris Matthews talk to these unstable people and call them impressive and the like? Your thoughts, Claude? Well, I don't have any thoughts. I hate them all. I'm consumed with loathing. With fear and loathing. I haven't been right since I read Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail 1972 by Hunter Thompson. I haven't been right since then. And that came out in, what, 74? So it's been 35 years almost that I've been consumed with fear and loathing. I'm sorry, Claude. That's the best I can do. Back to your phone calls here. Steve is calling from Albany, New York, listening on the Internet. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for putting me on again tonight.
Sure.
I called in last week and told you about an event in upstate New York.
Oh, yeah.
That was initiated by active duty soldiers.
How did it turn out?
The phony ones, you know.
Yeah, the phony ones, right.
Yeah. And we have now about 60 different organizations that are participating.
Oh, it hasn't happened yet. My bad.
No, it comes up. It's on September 29th, this Saturday.
This Saturday, okay.
This Saturday. And I just wanted to call in and remind people who might be listening. We actually had somebody call from San Diego who said that they're planning to be there because they're going to be in Ohio anyway, and they would just rent a car and drive up so they could participate.
That's super. In light of Rush Limbaugh's statement about phony soldiers, what do you think the attitude is going to be? These are active duty military people?
Yeah, the event was initiated by active duty soldiers from Fort Drum who have lost they've had more casualties from that fort than any other fort, you know, and they contacted the Syracuse Peace Council to help put together this event.
Right.
They're members of the New York Iraq Veterans Against the War, which is a very fast-growing organization. And
What do you think will be the attitude if these soldiers put any focus on Limbaugh at all? What do you think the attitude is going to be about his comments? I would think there would be outrage.
I would think so too. I mean, I can't imagine. I had the opportunity. We're going to have Jimmy Massey there. Have you?
I don't know who that is.
Jimmy Massey's featured in a movie that's called When I Get Home. It's all about PS, the post traumatic stress syndrome.
Right.
And he was a recruiter for the Marines. He's now very active with the Iraq Veterans Against the War group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just got the opportunity to meet him last night. And I can only imagine what his response would be if he had heard those comments.
Oh,
I mean, these people feel betrayed already.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do. I mean, he used to be a recruiter for the Marines. Now he goes around training people how not to get recruited.
Yeah, and I wonder, and I can't help but wonder this: how a soldier who was in actual combat in Iraq in this sort of a war. Under the circumstances that this soldier found himself there, a reservist, National Guardman, or even regular Army, but this soldier was there and realizes why he was there, but made it home, and brought with him the trauma that people who have not been in combat will never, ever, ever, ever understand. And he's brought that home with him, and maybe he's brought home a couple of physical wounds. I can see a soldier like that who, upon hearing what Limbaugh said, would go after Limbaugh in a very physical, violent way. I can see that happening. Timothy McVeigh went over the edge, a combat soldier, went over the edge and murdered 168 people with some obvious help from other people who shared his hatred of the government. And that government, of course, was the one run by George Herbert Walker Bush, who made the invasion, the first invasion of Iraq. So I can see a soldier, I can see more than one, totally going round the bend over what Limbaugh said and going after him.
I could see that, too, because one of the things that you come away from when you see that film, when I get home, is, you know, we're producing thousands of these guys who, you know, they joined usually because they thought they were going to get some skills and better off, you know, make
sure.
Their life better.
In other words, they believe the recruitment posters.
They believe that recruitment, and yeah. Then they go over there, they get totally screwed up physically, mentally, and generally return home to the same conditions or worse than when they left.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, like if they left for economic reasons.
Oh, I see. They
right?
come back the same
they
life.
They come back
yeah.
to the same lifestyle that they, you know,
that they thought was going to improve as a result of going in the military. I see what you're saying.
Exactly. Right? I mean, that's one of the ways that they actually get people to sign up again because things haven't improved, right? But. And, you know, then, you know, I had a friend who was a sniper in the armed services. And when he got out, his skill set could not be applied to anything, you know.
Well, not legally.
Not legally. And I mean, he even got fired from Burger King after 3 days because he was just trained to be so aggressive.
Right.
And you know, so anyway, it's infuriating that someone like Limbaugh would make those comments. It's even more infuriating that we have the chicken hawks who are running this war keep sending more people and want to increase it and go to Iran and just make everything completely 10 times worse. We're gonna have Scott Ritter there too that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his, you know, he's talking now about what the U.S. is actually doing
in Iran
to move us towards attacking Iran. So,
yeah. Well, please do stay in touch, Steve, especially when this event is over. I hope you'll call in early next week and let us know how it goes. And I hope the attendance for this thing is exactly what you guys want it to be. All right.
Yeah, we're really hoping that this will be one of the most significant events to move us in the right direction, not only for upstate New York but for the whole country. And people can get more information by going to peacecouncil.net or neighbors4peace.org.
All right, Peace Council. Is that council like a circle of advisors, or council like we're going to counsel you? How do you spell it? C-O-U-N-C-I-L?
Correct.
Okay, peacecouncil.net.
Yep.
Okay.
And neighbors4peace.org.
Neighbors for Peace, with the word four is actually the numeral four, neighborsforpeace.org.
Yep.
All right. Please stay in touch, Steve. I'm glad you called in, and we'll talk the first of next week after this event. John is calling from Washington, D.C., listening on the Internet. Hey, John. Hey, John.
Hello.
Yeah, John, go ahead. You're on the air, pal.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I just had a question about the strike that Israel just had
in Syria. Syria, yeah.
What's going on with that?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows what's going on with that. I think what happened was, depending on who you want to believe, it was just a move to be threatening. There are other reports that it might have been in an area where Syria was had a weapons plant. I have no idea. I'll check it out, John. Maybe we can get that story just disappeared. Charlie is calling from Pittsburgh. Charlie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I'm calling from the land of Republican Talk Radio in Western PA, and I hate it, so the only remedy I have is to call you whenever possible and listen to you all the time.
Well,
I am calling on one Rush Limbaugh comment. Actually, it's a sponsorship that he has. I don't know who the sponsor is, but he goes on in the commercial about his favorite coffee is, quote, maple bacon flavored coffee.
Maple bacon flavor?
Soak it in, Mike. Just soak it in. Maple bacon flavored coffee.
Coffee.
I thought Elvis
was dead.
Well, I mean, you know, peanut butter and pickle sandwich is one thing, but maple bacon flavor, whatever. Anyway, I know. But anyway, so the other right winger that I get is this guy called Jim Quinn, Quinn and Rose in the Morning. I don't know if you've never heard of this guy.
No, never heard of him.
This is the height of insanity. I called in, and he called me a moonbat lefty, but the reason I called into his show is...
Hey, hold on just a second, Charlie. I got to do a break here. We'll come back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
The quality of mercy is not
greater than martyrs. The quality of mercy is not surrender.
It's about 10 before the hour. Let's go back to Charlie real quick, who's called in from Pittsburgh. Maple bacon-flavored coffee. Thought about that during the whole break. Go ahead, Charlie.
Okay, well, before I get to my second comment, I just want to say thank you for mentioning Hunter Thompson. I think there's a great void in what is called, you know, journalism without him. I think about that daily. He's one of my, you know, biggest influences.
I hear you.
Well, anyway, so I have to listen to this jerk named Jim Quinn, and I don't know where he's out of, but it must be somewhere near Pittsburgh. And a few weeks back, he had a guest on who just wrote a book called Crescent of Betrayal, talking about the Flight 93 Memorial, which is, you know, near Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The Flight 93 Memorial is oriented exactly 1 degree above Mecca, that it is a homage, Crescent of Betrayal, that the actual memorial is shaped in a crescent, an homage to Islam. That it is aiming aiming straight at Mecca, and that the, I don't know if it's an obelisk or what it is, but it is a perfect sundial calculator for prayer.
work. Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh my
right,
God.
Yeah. So I called in and said, you know, you really consider this man a credible person to have on your show? And he called me a, I think, moonbat lefty.
Yeah.
I it's just like you cannot have an honest discussion with
no.
these people.
No, of course
they are completely
not.
Inept of logic.
No, you're right. They all need to be. Well, I can't say it. I can't.
But that's the thing. That's all that I have here is this Quinn guy or Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh, then Hannity, and then Michael.
Well, get on the internet and go to Nova M. Log on to our station in Phoenix, KPHX, and or any of the stations that carry our programming. But I would say stay with KPHX.
That's who I stream from every day. I go to the site and stream right from KPHX. I mean, it is my remedy for right-wingers
that's
and
the way,
sanity.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. All right, listen, Charlie, take care.
Thank you kindly, Mike.
All right, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Moonbat lefty, yeah. I kind of like moonbat. I like that term. You know, I'm my sign is I'm a moon child anyway. And bats are cool. A moon bat. I can never. I started seeing that 5-6 years ago. I could never figure out why it's an insult. By the way, thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program and answered your calls, Billy Foster, Chris in Minnesota, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. Back to your phone calls very quickly here. Jake is calling from Eureka, California, listening on KGOE.
Hey Jake. Mike, how's it going?
It's going good.
Hey, you know, it's official. The drug-addicted dumbass Rush Limbaugh is back on OxyContin.
You think?
Yeah, I think it's quite obvious. Rush Limbaugh, the drug treatment did not work. And, you know, I can't really blame Rush, though, if you think about it. If you had to go on the air every day and talk about what a great President George W. Bush was and how the Republican Party really cared about America,
yeah
you'd have to do some serious narcotics, too. You know, I mean, and you look at these other guys like Sean Clannady, that wannabe redneck, and Bill O'Reilly, that racist idiot.
Oh, what a collection of subhumans. It's astonishing.
Yeah, they're just total fascists. And the whole point is here, O'Reilly, Hannity, or Clannady, as I prefer to call him, and Limbaugh, they ought to go the way of Don Imus. I mean, the fact is, most Americans don't want Limbaugh on the radio. They don't want to watch Clannady on TV. The whole point is, it's corporate America shoving these people down our throats. They're on the air all over the country, not because the people want them, because the corporations do.
Yeah, that's so true. That's the major or the main reason that you have to really hunt to find a liberal talk, or progressive talk, or just moderate, you know, talk radio that is not this mouth-breathing, right-wing neo-fascist stuff. You have to look all over the place because corporate America made a determination that liberal or progressive talk was not going to be available, period. And they were able to make that decision as a result of the end of the Fairness Doctrine that happened during the Reagan years and the consolidation bill that Bill Clinton signed. So between Reagan and Clinton, Bill Clinton, the idea of a balance, at least something remotely resembling balance, was disappeared totally and completely. And you know, the dynamic duo did it. The two most popular presidents since Roosevelt, that would be Reagan and Clinton, they absolutely destroyed radio, talk radio, as a medium for anything other than right-wing corporate sanctioned talk. What a shame, huh?
Well, that's true. And the irony of it, of course, is Bill Clinton brought the whole right-wing, you know, political attack machine on himself with the 1996 Telecommunications Act. And you know, all the Democrats out there who are going to be voting in the primaries in the next few months, remember Hillary Clinton's, you know, husband, Bill, not only did he pass NAFTA, he passed the Telecommunications Act that gave that idiot Rupert Murdoch the spectrum, you know, control. Oh, I mean, how is it this guy from Australia, Rupert Murdoch, is allowed to come in our country?
Well, he's an American
buy
citizen.
Buy up all these
yeah.
stations.
Well, he's an American citizen now. He gave up his Australian citizenship and got American citizenship specifically for that reason. I'm not defending Hillary, but remember, Hillary is not her husband. Maybe she was against the Consolidation Act, although I doubt it. I'm just saying You know, there are a lot of things to condemn Hillary for. I'd be careful about condemning her for something that her husband did. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to correct you.
Well, I'm not condemning her for what her husband did to Monica, but, you know, I think as far as the policies go, you know, Hillary and Bill, they seem to be pretty much aligned on most of the policies, and that's a reason why we Democrats need to think about getting somebody other than Hillary.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Jake. Take care, man. I got to go. Thanks a lot.
All right,
I appreciate you checking in. Well, if we're going to find somebody else, it's going to have to be somebody who's not in the Democratic Party. I was really starting to, I'm going to vote for Kucinich as long as I can. But once his name disappears from the ballot, I was really starting to think about Edwards until Edwards said last night that, he could not say unequivocally that U.S. troops would be out of Iraq by 2013. Jesus, I don't know. I don't know. All right, well, listen, thanks for participating in the program tonight. I do appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.